All right. Well, good morning. Yeah, Andrew started coming down, not really feeling well a couple days ago. Let us know. We had a meeting Wednesday. Let us know by text. Late Friday night, the actual text was letting us know some of what his symptoms were there, but he's like, I might not be able to make it. It might be time for us to start thinking creatively. Anybody got a spare sermon in their back pocket? The answer to that is no. We don't, but I would like to say, again, good morning. Probably should wish us all good luck as well. It was quite a week. I'm not sure if I'm the ideal fit for a last-minute pulpit fill, but I am here. Jeff had a busy week of work, and he's technically on sabbatical. Terry's had crazy work going on. Ron's in Las Vegas again. Actually, I don't know if he's ever been there before, but in my mind, I like to envision him just randomly jetting off there over and over. But anyway, looks like we're just stuck with me. And this is something I probably, usually I wouldn't have a whole lot of reservation of doing this. I mean, I'm comfortable with getting up in front of people, for better or for worse, I guess. But the older I get, I don't know maybe if this is the most wise decision. Age kind of has a way of humbling you. And Heidi and I were kind of running all over this week. And I think it was Friday we were coming back from the track meet. And Heidi was mentioning how she wanted to trade the benefits of life experience and perspective for the physical and mental advantages of youth. And we left the meet and immediately completely lost our car in the school parking lot. So anyway, that's the mental capacity I'm bringing to the table this week. So if this goes completely sideways, I apologize in advance. But as I mentioned, I was not planning on this. This was not in my back pocket, but it is always a privilege to be here and turn to the Word of God together. I'm not one that I've found really does so well just trying to plan a ton of time anyway and say I'm going to focus on doing this when it relates to message preparation. I had this opportunity a couple of months ago, and I tried to do that in a little bit more of a traditional way. But I'm not one that wakes up at night pondering deep things. I have trouble focusing for real long periods of time. So a lot of what my processing of God's Word and life happens driving, when I am running, that's a lot of the time where I'm trying to sort out life, trying to understand what God is trying to teach us and me through all of this. But anyway, so in situations like this, it's been a week where there's been a lot on my mind, so it actually was not too bad to kind of put some of this into perspective. And it's not going to be kind of the most traditional sermon. There's not time to really go deep into a whole lot of analyzing of particular texts, but I'm just going to highlight a couple of texts. Music was mentioned this morning. That's been something that has been just very helpful to me throughout my life. I wouldn't wade into the hymn versus contemporary music debate a whole lot. I find benefit from all of it. I'm going to use some music in the message this morning. This is newer music. I think there's good stuff in all genres and all ages. I mean, you can find things that, as long as they're true, and they can speak to us in a way that points us to truth about God, I think it's a useful thing. And I'm going to have us consider a couple of music videos this morning as well that have been helpful to me. So as we go forward, let's first open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone who is gathered here this morning as we get together to worship, to look at your Word. Just pray that you'll speak to us things that are true, things that can be helpful to our hearts, our minds, and our souls as we go through this morning and go into this week and the remainder of summer. I just pray that you'll help me to keep my focus. I pray that people's ears will be turned to what is true. If there are things that are are off of what your will is. I pray that they will go by the wayside, but I just pray we can have a time together this morning that is encouraging for each of us and does bring glory to you as well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, I would say this probably was not the most typical week for us. We have a lot of busy weeks, but this one seemed a little bit more so even than some. There was a lot of real fun things going on. We had a chance to go down to the state track meet. Ramsey was competing there. Morgan was competing there. It's just a very cool environment of a lot of young people that are really excelling at gifts that God has given them and seeing results of hard work that they've put into it as well. So we went to 2 days of that, and that was it was a really, really fun time for Heidi and I and for I think everyone in attendance. We got to take part in the re-roofing of Dave and Wendy's house, which again just kind of amazes me every time I see the guys kind of come together and work. I've seen over the years Jeff and Jason and now Dylan and Travis, I mean guys that are just very, very amazing at what they do. And it was cool to be a blessing to Dave and Wendy in that way and just work with them. I mean, there's continuing graduation parties that are things that do bring a lot of joy. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. We have a lot to be grateful for in that. But those are things where it's easy to feel good, right? The title of my message, just hastily thrown together here, was Rejoice Always, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here in the New Testament. But that is always something where that's an interesting command that God gives us. I think Heidi had gotten the picture texted of Olivia's foal this morning, and I think Olivia's response to that was something like, "It's just I can be happy forever." Is that true, Olivia? Yeah, it's an exciting thing, but I mean, there's a circumstance that happened where it's pretty much impossible for her to feel anything other than joyful at this moment, and we rejoice when those times do happen. However, I mean, we live in a world where, I mean, Terry mentioned Shane's passing, and I work with family of that family as well. I've known them, and it's an untimely, difficult thing where people are devastated of how their life circumstances are. Tonight, there's a benefit for the Claire family, and just in the last several months, Jeff and Sharon and the kids' lives have been turned upside down in that respect. I mean, their life going forward is very unknown. They don't know what is happening. And then, of course, for us, I mean, we go with the week-to-week uncertainty in our own families' lives, and we had a lot of really up and down things with just uncertainty and ominous reports about our daughter, which has just been something that is a constant in the rhythm of our day-to-day life. And as easy it is for Olivia to be drawn to a attitude of rejoicing and happiness, if you really get sucked into the things that are difficult in life, it can be almost as natural just to get drawn into and stuck in the places of sadness, of worry, and even depression and despair. So there's a balance there that we have to go through. And that's my journey a lot of these weeks. It just is. So rather than me go through a passage of scripture, I'm just going to kind of invite you guys to walk along with me here as we wrestle with some scripture texts and just look at what it says to us in times of trouble. And then we're going to look at a couple of music videos here as well. So just to start, I'm going to call attention to a couple of texts. They're very short, very familiar ones. The first one is Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Second one is a series of short verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is verse 16 through 18. This one, Paul writes, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So does anyone else wrestle or struggle with these commands from time to time? Or is this one just a piece of cake to live out 24/7? This is a hard one, right? I think probably the most similar analogy I can find, I grew up playing baseball years ago. I'd have my good moments and I'd have my bad moments, but in my bad moments, I'd be known to walk batters. I pitched a lot. I'd walk two batters, sometimes three batters, and I'd hear from the coaches, throw strikes, or little more creative, colorful versions of that, and would hear chirping from the peanut gallery along with the same advice of just their frustration that I'm not doing this one thing that clearly I should be doing in that moment, and that's throwing the ball across the plate. And it would be a frustrating thing because I'd be like, seriously, you haven't thrown a ball in 30 years. What do you think I would be doing here? Thanks for the opinion, but it's real tough. And it's a similar thing that I've experienced when I come into the commands of rejoice continuously, particularly when things are going hard. It's like the same sort of thing. Okay, rejoice always, rejoice always. Okay, my circumstances here are making it a little bit difficult. I can't do anything about that. Emotion is not something you can turn on and off on your own, much less getting direction from the baseball peanut gallery or even sometimes just reading the words on a page. That's usually not going to do it at the drop of a hat, in my experience anyway. But clearly this is a command that we need to take seriously, and what do we do with that? I think one thing that kind of did come to mind is that this command, apart from like the commandments, is not a sin issue all of the time. How can we know that? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is two short words, rejoice always. That's the second shortest verse in the Bible. The first one is Jesus wept. That one's much more familiar back in John 10. So if we take the command of rejoice always and turn that into just condemnation that in itself, because we're not feeling a certain way, that is a sinful situation, I don't think that's really where he's getting at, because, I mean, clearly Jesus was perfect and he wept during hard and difficult times. He knew human emotion. God knows that, so even in his words to us to be joyful, he also knows the pain of suffering and hurting in a world that is clearly broken. So we know this call to rejoice is real, and it is true. It's in God's word. It is also difficult. I think God knows that life is hard. We're going to look at a few passages here in John chapters 14 through 17. This is one of Jesus' longest addresses to his disciples. It takes place in the time between Judas's betrayal and Peter's failing to, or his denial of Christ and the actual crucifixion. So this is right at the point where life is getting real and very difficult for his disciples. And John says to them, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And this passage, it does acknowledge the reality of what all of us face, not only in that time, but now. This is a continuous battle to understand and try to figure out what it really means that Jesus has overcome the world and what that means for us. Earlier in the same section of Scripture where Christ is speaking to his disciples in the short time between the Last Supper and crucifixion, he says in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He continues later in chapter 14, in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, did the disciples pass this test with flying colors? Apparently not, as in verse 28, Jesus says, if you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So they were hearing about the fact that Jesus was going to die, he was going to be going away. And what's his direction to them? If you really knew and saw the big picture, you would have rejoiced. However, they didn't. They were human. They knew that this was going to be something they didn't really even understand yet, but they were worried and concerned and reacted as human humans would in a trying and unknown situation. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is, what can worship look like when you're facing troubles? For me, I think I've said it, sometimes can be natural to just sink into the feelings and thoughts of your current circumstances, and when they're hard, that can be sadness and worry. Yet we are called to rejoice in all things. For me, music can often help. Maybe some of you guys can relate to this. When things are hard, a lot of the music we listen to seems like it can really ignore the reality of the depth of how hard life can be. And it may be something that it's a praise song, but it just seems like so much of it really doesn't speak to life on the level of what you might be feeling. So through this journey that we've been on the last years now, it's been very grateful to find songs that can direct the heart toward praise, but also acknowledge the difficulty of life's hardest circumstances. One of these songs, this first one I'm going to play here, it's a song by The Afters. They're a band. They've got quite a few songs out. This is their two singers, but they're singing a song called Broken Hallelujah. And in this video, they're actually singing from a prison in Rome. They believe this is one of the places where Paul spent time, and it was where Peter was imprisoned shortly before he was executed. So I just thought it was an interesting setting for that. But what this song does is address the difficulty of trying to praise God like we should when it seems difficult and we are really at a broken place. So let's listen to this.
Don't let my heart be changed.
have an attitude of that there's something to find that's worth rejoicing in is a supernatural thing. I mean, that's not something we can do on our own. I can't, anyway. So how do we get there? So we're going to look at just a few quick sections of this speech or this talk that Jesus is giving to the disciples here in chapter 14. And the first thing, he gets to it in verse 1, where he talks about believe in God, believe also in me. And I think that is the core of all of this, is we need to have our belief, our faith strengthened. And how does that happen? I think a lot of it relates to just acknowledging that he is sovereign and does love all of his creation, which is a hard thing to wrap our mind around. Matthew verse 10, or chapter 10, verses 29 through 30 talks about, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. That's getting to be less of a problem for him for me, but I guess. He says, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So, and this was an interesting thing this week too, when Heidi was up this one morning reading this week, because she's contemplating some of this, and a sparrow come crashing into our big window, and kind of on a kamikaze mission, and it crashed and fell and laid there for a while, and I think this one did get up and fly away. But God's word says that not even those things are outside of his will. Again, it does not say that according to God's will, God keeps all sparrows from falling to the ground. That is not the promise. It just says that when they do, even those seemingly small things are under his sovereignty, and he does care, and it does matter to him. So there's a battle for belief in God and in Christ and who he says he is. And I think for that, we need scripture, we need music, but even more, we need each other for encouragement, because as Lauren said, or as Terry said, this is not a battle we fight on our own. And there are no alternate ways around it. This is the section where in verse 6, Jesus says to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is not a plan B, plan C, alternate route, any other way there. We have to deal with the reality of what Jesus is saying here, and he is saying that the way to God, the way to peace is through Jesus. The second thing is understanding that God sends his Spirit to us for our help. Further down in John 14, verse 26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, he elaborates, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And as believers, we do have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that is something that can't be understated. It doesn't mean that we are not part of the equation. We still have to be seeking him through God's word, through prayer, but he is available to us to help us to understand and to grow in our faith. And finally, I think the third way we battle this is understanding this is all about eternity. In the first part of John 14 and verses 2 and 3, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, that you may be also. In Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, John records, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." And I think that is important for us to keep in mind, that in the days, years, centuries to come, this is but a temporary blip. It's a small scale in the grand scale of time. And it is a battle to understand that in the big picture, there is eternity, and that God does have that firmly in his control as well. And he has offered hope to us through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus. So in light of these things, we are able to praise God, even in the most difficult of circumstances. I'm going to close here just with two more songs. These are shorter ones here from a singer. Her name is Lydia Laird. She is not, I've not heard it on the radio. This is one of the people that pops up on one of my music programs. And she's had some music that has come up just at really timely points for consideration for me. She grew up as a missionary family. I think they were a family of like 10 or 12 in Romania. And they know hardship. They've had some really difficult things in their family situations. Yet through this, they've persevered ministering in a pretty difficult part of the world, not far from Ukraine. So she's been writing music since she was a very young girl. And it comes from a place, I think, too, that, as I mentioned, does understand the realities of the joy of being able to praise God, but also the realities of living life in a world that is difficult. So this first song is called Hallelujah Even Here. And then there's another one that's a take off of Jesus Loves Me, the familiar older song called This I Know. So we'll play those two, and then I'll close.
Right now, I feel a little overwhelmed. Right now, I could really use some help. Right now, I don't feel like it is well with my soul. I've tried to find a way around the mess. I've prayed in faith that the night would end right here, when I just can't understand. I'll lift my hands. Hallelujah, when the storm is relentless. Hallelujah, when the battle. Too far, too hard, becomes so easy. I find peace here in surrendering and letting go. Hallelujah, when the storm is relentless. Hallelujah, when the battle. Sweetest offering, and sometimes choosing just to see is the thing that changes everything. Hallelujah, when the storm is relentless. Hallelujah, when the battle is endless.
goes crazy, like it's ripping at the seams. And the lies keep growing louder, with chaos threatening. When the weight upon my shoulders is too much for my soul, won't you help me to remember those words from long ago? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Okay, thank you, Corey, for helping me. And Terry, too, I think you were kind of getting stuff situated to make things happen for this morning. So I always appreciate that, guys. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. I pray that you can encourage our hearts and minds, help us to work towards understanding the big picture of your sovereignty in our life. We thank you for the reality of your Holy Spirit in our life. We thank you for your word. We thank you for music. We thank you for the encouragement of others around us. I just pray that you can help us to grow in our faith. And we thank you that you do love us, that you've sent your Son, and that he loves us as well, and that we do have the promise of eternity to look forward to. I just pray that you'll go with us this day. Just keep these truths in our mind. Thank you for your forgiveness that you offer to us. And for these things, we worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.